Oh.
ॐ
शरणं
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु
सहवीर्यं
सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणचक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि। सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणमे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। जस्ट चैंट द सेकंड मंत्र। श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनो यत् वाचोहवाचं स उप्राणस्य प्राणः। चक्षुश्च चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकाद् अमृता भवन्ति। हरि ओम। सो वी आर एट दी लास्ट थ्री मंत्रस ऑफ द केन उपनिषद। वी होप टू कंप्लीट इट टुडे एंड देन स्टार्ट कठोपनिषद नेक्स्ट वीक। सो द केन उपनिषद इज unique among Upanishads because it has a lot of emphasis on upasana. Most of the Upanishads talk predominantly of jnanam, or even if upasana is there, it is scattered like in Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka, in different parts. But in this Ken Upanishad, the upasana is very clearly defined. So the first two chapters are the knowledge part, where, you know, they say that it is the Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso. It is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind. And it is that which illumines all thoughts. It is the illumining principle that is Brahman and that you are. And then the third chapter had the story. We all know the story of the Yaksha appearing. And then the fourth is the commentary on the story and the final summary of the teachings of this Upanishad. And we saw that the last week we had done three upasanas, three separate upasanas, how you can remember Brahman. So the first one was lightning. When you see lightning or any light shining, or even the camera going in and opening and closing, that light should remind you of Brahman. So anytime you take a picture, think of the light and remember God. Yes. Second is the blinking of the eyes. In the blinking of the eyes also, the light is seen and closed, revealed. So anytime you blink the eye, think of, oh, Bhagwan is here. And both of these are considered adidaivik. The lightning is adidaivik. How the eye blinking is? Because the light that is seen is also adidaivik. It is the light from the Lord. And then the third upasana was on mana, on the mind. And so anytime you see the thoughts of the mind, one is the mind can try to know, reach Brahman as the substratum, or the mind itself is Brahman. The mind's activity should remind us of God. And then we had seen the difference between jnana sorry Sorry, I've been muted. Nobody said anything. Yeah, so I'll just summarize again. So the Kain Upanishad has upasanas.
This happened. It was fine.
It was fine. It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah.
Okay, then. So the mind as though runs out into the objects of the world. And then the difference between jnanam and upasana. Jnan is vastu tantra and upasana is purush tantra. Vastu tantra means to know something as it is. That is jnanam, that is knowledge. Purush tantra depends on the individual. So what I worship, what form of the Lord or what do I take as that, that is purush tantra. Also, the method of worship is different. And in knowledge, in the Vastu Tantra, the knowledge occurs instantly. Once I know fire is hot, that is instant knowledge. I don't need time to know that. Once I put my finger, that is instant knowledge. But the results of Purush Tantra comes gradually. This Upasana result comes gradually. And that is the phalam, that is the fruit. So now we shall do the mantra number 7. Shaku, you want to chant? Chapter 4, mantra number 7. You can unmute, please. Upanishadam bho bruhi.
Upanishadam bho bruhit.
Iti uktate upanishad.
Uti uktate upanishad.
Brahmim vava.
Brahmtit vava.
Te upanishadam.
Ta upanishadam.
Abruma iti.
Abruma iti.
Together, you can please mute. Upanishadam bho bruhi. Iti uktate upanishad brahmim vavate upanishadam abruma iti. So now the student who has so far not got this, some of the students had got it, they had already left. Others were still sitting, but they had pretty comfortable. One student, this is a very unique student, who comes and says, Upanishadam bho bruhi. Bho means, oh, revered master. Upanishadam bruhi, tell me Upanishad. That you're saying, tell me Upanishad. At the end of Upanishad, you are telling that.
Sir.
So teacher says, iti uktate Upanishad. Yes. What I have been telling you all along, what have I been saying? It is Upanishad alone. So how is it that you are asking? And what this Upanishad is, Brahmi Upanishad, means it has told you about Brahman, about God. Vava means eva, that alone I have been telling you for all these, you know, so many mantras and, you know, so many weeks we have been studying. And that is that Brahman alone. And Te Upanishadam, that Upanishad has already been told to you, which is explaining Brahman. A bruma iti, has been told, has already been told. So we'll say, what kind of student is this? It is like, you know, after listening to Ramayan, somebody asks, Sita kaun tha? You know, who was this Sita? That the same way, this person, after all these mantras, now he's telling me, tell Upanishad. So Shankaracharya ji, in his Bhashya, says, why did the student say that? See, the student was not an ordinary student. He had come, renounced the world and come to meet the guru. Plus, he must have studied other texts before studying the Upanishad, you know, Tattva Bodh and all those other texts he has studied. Then he has already listened to the mantras and the teacher has been evaluating him. So why is he asking that? Is it anarthaka? Is it a useless question, worthless question? Shows that he wasn't paying attention or he wasn't learning. So to tell him the Upanishad again is like you have powdered some, you know, masala in your in your that mortar and pestle. You have powdered it. And then somebody says, oh, it needs to be powdered again. You don't need to powder again. So why should he ask that, tell me the Upanishad? So Shankaracharya ji says it very beautifully. And Gurudev also in his commentary has explained that the reason for the student asking is multifold.
Mm-hmm.
One is, are there any other parts of this knowledge, the Upanishad or its other additional knowledge that maybe has not been revealed? So the student wants to know that. Secondly, he's asking, is there any auxiliary supports? Mm-hmm. See, knowledge is one thing, but what else can I do so that this knowledge may become clear to me? See, many times, you know, because our qualifications are not there or certain sadhanas are needed or certain ways that this Upanishad can be studied. So the auxiliary knowledge, what is the auxiliary support? Maybe that has not been revealed to me. Also, his implication is that, teacher, you haven't said Upanishad has ended. He, mm-hmm. even though he has given the Phala Shruti, but the end is not given. Like in Prashna Upanishad, the guru says, okay, this is done. There is nothing more for me to teach you in this Upanishad. Teacher has not said that. It is like in the movie, you know, when the movie is looks like it is ended, but then the titles start, you know, the all the credits. And then they have more dance, you know, sometimes hero, heroine. Mm-hmm. And the word the end has not come. So until the word the end comes, people don't get up. So teacher, you have not said the end, that the Upanishad has ended. So maybe there is something more you need to teach. Other thing is, the student is not an ordinary student. He realizes that once I leave, I will not have contact with such a great teacher, Sanidhya. I will not be able to sit with such a teacher and learn. So I don't want to leave because then I won't be able to come back. And I may have missed some things. You know, I didn't get it. Maybe I didn't pick it up. So the student actually is a wise student, even though it looks like what he's saying, Upanishad Bo Bruhi, oh Lord, please teach me the Upanishad. What is the hidden meaning of that question? Shankaracharya ji reveals to us. And we shall see in the next mantra, the teacher has understood that.
Mm-hmm.
First he said, oh, I have already taught to you Upanishad. But then the student is still waiting. You know, he doesn't feel that humiliated or anything. He's just waiting. So teacher says, okay, there is something more the student needs. And that is the wisdom of the teacher that he's able to pick up. And then abruma iti, the last word of this mantra. Abruma means we have already said, but Shankaracharya ji says abruma also can be interpreted as we will tell you. So abruma is not only the past tense, it is the future tense. So that is how this mantra is actually very interesting mantra, that why the teacher, why the student asked. Moini aunty, do you want to do the next one, number 8?
Okay.
Tasyai tapo damaha.
Tasyai tapo damaha.
Karmeti pratishtha.
Karmeti pratishtha.
Vedaha sarvangani.
Veda sarvangani.
Satyamayatanam.
Satyamayatanam.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Tasyai tapo damaha. Karmeti pratishtha. Vedaha sarvangani. Satyamayatanam. According to Gurudev, this is one of the most powerful mantras, and I'll spend some time on studying this, on talking about this mantra. Not only what the mantra says, but what, as students of Upanishad or as students of spirituality, what we should do and what we should not do.
Mm.
So, tasyahi, tasye, of this knowledge, What is the pratishtha? What is the foundation of this knowledge? To get this knowledge, what should we do? Tapaha, damaha, karma. So tapaha means austerity. That means doing some fasting, some penance, you know, controlling the body, controlling the senses, and restricting. So, you know, physically controlling the body, the senses, and not and allowing them to indulge, and doing some self-control, some penance, some, even to some extent, some discomfort to the body. So that, but not with the idea of punishing the body, that with this control, I keep my minds on God. So that is austerity. What is, that is tapa. What is dhamma? Dhamma and shama, you know, control of the mind and control of the senses, is at the mental level. See, austerity is at the physical level, but control of the mind and the senses where they don't go out is mental. So physically, I should not indulge and let the mind also not go out into the senses. That's why yesterday we had done the shloka, Vishaya Vinivartante Nirahasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. One is to control the mind and control the senses from going out into the object. So even if the objects are there, I am not fascinated, but my mind still will have the taste. You know, I wish I could do that. You know, I wish I like to do with it, whether it's alcohol, cigarettes, food, you know, shopping, whatever our desire is, the mind still has the taste. So that can only go param drishtva nivartate, when my mind is attached to Bhagwan. So tapaha and dhamma, then these two should result in karma. Third one. Karma has two meanings. In the olden days, karma was meant as rituals, doing prayers for Bhagwan. And that was karma, but also the karma in the modern context is karma yoga. Mm-hmm. So when I have time, when I'm controlling my senses, not indulging, then the extra time I save in doing useless things should be used for serving the world, karma yoga. So that is important. And in that, even I do it, whether I get recognition or not, praise or not. And Gurudev says it needs a lot of courage to take the mind away from objects, from enjoyments, and turn the mind inward. So this technique of self-control, the purpose is to direct the mind's attention inward. And in that knowledge, the limbs are the Vedangas. Vedangas are the limbs. What are Vedangas? One is the four Vedas. The Vedangas are the Upavedas. So they are like, astronomy, astrology, phonetics, you know, how the words are made, grammar, etymology, what is the source of the words, what is the Sanskrit grammar, and all that are these, and in that medicine, astronomy, astrology, all that are covered. So those are the Vedangas, and they are the limbs, they help to support. Now the next one, Satyam Ayatanam, the truth is its abode, is the most important. Mm-hmm. Now the next few points I'm going to say, I would request people to write down if you can, because these points will be very useful in our spiritual journey. Actually, I myself, when I was reading the commentary, I made a little card to reread these points. They are very, very beneficial. I'll just go through them. We'll spend most of today's talk on this particular mantra. So the first one is Satya, truth. If you cannot practice truth at the worldly level, at the transactional level, you cannot know truth, sat, at the highest level, at the Brahman level. So if you want to know truth at the absolute level, first of all, complete absolute truth, complete truthfulness, nowhere this thing is a serious obstacle for people who don't tell the truth. It becomes an obstacle on the spiritual journey. And the truth should be body, mind, and speech. That means what I think in my mind, what I speak, and what I do should be all of them should be compatible, should be one. So control of the mind, control of the speech and the body, they should be all in one. There's a very beautiful story which illustrates the value of truth. So there was a young boy, his name was Satyakama, and he only had a mother, the father was not there. And he wanted to go to Gautam Rishi to study spirituality. So he asks his mother, what is my gotra? You know, because gotra means you have to know your father's lineage, because that was required for people to be accepted on the spiritual path. So he asks his mother's name was Jabala. So she had told him, your name is Satyakam Jabala, the mother's name. Generally, the father's name is used as the name. So he says, what is my gotra? So she tells him, there are two versions. One version is that she said, well, your father didn't live with me for many years, so I wasn't able to ask his gotra. Now that doesn't seem very correct, because if you're living with a person having his child, you would know his gotra. The second version, which I think is more correct, is she said, I don't know your father. When she says, I don't know your father, again, she could have, you know, made something up. She said, I don't know your father means she had multiple men in her life. Maybe that was her livelihood. So for her to honestly tell him that I don't know who your father is shows truthfulness. And Satyakam Jabala goes to Gautam Rishi, and Gautam Rishi asks him, what is your gotra? He says, I don't know who my father is. My name is Satyakam Jabala. Jabala is my mother's name. With great courage, he just tells the truth. That he could have again said that my gotra is, you know, Kashyap or this or that. He didn't say that. He said, my mother is Jabala, and that's all I know. I don't know my father. Now, Gautam Rishi must have seen something in this young boy. And he said, you know, the fact that you truthfully told me who you are and told me your name means you have to be of a Brahman gotra. You have to be a very evolved person to tell the truth like that. So he accepts him as his disciple. And it is said this Satyakama himself becomes, after studying with Gautam Rishi, becomes a great Mahatma, great Rishi, great scholar. He actually revealed and composed Upanishads, several mantras, and he had a big ashram later on, large number of students. So this shows the value of truthfulness. They say, one place I read that, if you have truth on one side, you know, on the scale, truth on one side, and 1,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas, you know, the Ashwamedh Yajnas were so hard to do. So if you do 1,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas on one side and truth on the other, truth will be heavier. So that is the value. Satyamev Jayate Na Anritam. It is said in the Upanishads, truth alone prevails, not untruth. So number one is truth at the transactional level, and that will only reveal truth at the absolute level. Now, the other points are, I'll just go very rapidly, but they are very important. We should write them down if you can, please. Second is qualifications. Whatever qualifications, you know, te mai santu, you know, Upanishads to dharmaha te mai santu. So what are the qualifications that are required for the spiritual seeker? So sadhan, chatushtaya, vivek, vairagya, you know, mumukshutvam, etc. Then, you know, amanitvam, adambitvam, what Bhagwan has told in the 13th chapter, the qualities of values that should be practiced. So I should practice all those values. And the knowledge of this, nowadays you can get from anywhere. You can order books online. You can go on the internet. All the commentaries have been written. YouTube is there. There are different streaming sites. You can go to sites of different temples and, you know, these spiritual organizations. And you can listen to anything. Go to Chinmaya channel. And you can have talks on every Upanishad by great, you know, swamis and teachers. So the knowledge is not hard to get, but what you can't buy is Vairagya and Mumukshutvam. Those two things you can't buy in any store. You can't order from the internet, YouTube. So these two are very, very important to develop these qualities. So the qualification we talked about, that is, you know, Shadhan Chatushtaya and Shamadama, you know, Uparati, etc. But Vairagya and Mumukshutvam cannot be bought. So that is, so develop that. Then the next point is reduce attachment. What is our biggest obstacle is when we are attached. It could be to a person, could be to an object, could be to my, you know, my body, my mind, my ideas, my emotions, so my property, wealth. So being attached to anything, my power, position, that will be an obstacle. So reduce attachment. That's why they say, you know, there are three things important in spirituality, just as say in real estate. Three important things are location, location, location. So in spirituality, it is dispassion, dispassion, dispassion. Those are the three most important things. Then I should do regular sadhanas. So regular doing some puja, some meditation, some japa, sitting in front of the Lord, maybe, you know, do some self-control. Okay, you know, on Ekadashi, I won't eat, or fasting within limits, you know, within control. So doing some regular sadhana, okay, make up a practice every day in the morning. I get up, I will do meditation for so long. Then after a bath, I will do puja. Then before I go to bed, I will do this. So whatever sadhanas I have taken up, do them sincerely. The next one is reduce unnecessary activities. See, unnecessarily talking on the phone for too long, or unnecessarily going here and there and doing this or that, visiting websites, spending too much time on the phone, you know, so that means, you know, searching the web and doing all that. So avoid unnecessarily doing activities that are going to interfere in my spiritual journey. Also watching TV programs that take away my mind. If you have want to watch, there are a lot of nice movies and the things that will take me on my journey. So that is one. Then the next one is don't hurt others. As far as possible, try not to hurt others. And hurt can be physically, by speech, and mentally. Thinking evil about somebody is also himsa. So ahimsa should be practiced. And that includes not interfering in other people's business where I don't belong, because that is also unnecessary. So not interfering and not hurting others. Now ahimsa, we'll come...
It's like ahimsa.
That is ahimsa. Then what we have to do is negate this ego, this I, that who is this I? So negate.
You are muted.
Negate this I, this mithya. I don't know why it gets muted.
I think you don't put this here. Put this down.
Oh,
and
maybe.
Don't touch them.
Acha, that's what is happening. Okay, so negate this ego, this mithya I, because this mithya I is which tells me I am this body, mind, intellect. This is my name. This is my identity. And that takes me away from my true identity, which is I am Brahman. So all the time, remind yourself, I am not this body, mind, intellect, I am Brahman. You know, mano, buddha, ahankar, chittani, naham, that mantra, Nirvan Shatkam, is very good. Chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. I am that absolute truth, which is sat, chit, anand. That existence, consciousness, bliss. Again, those are indicators of Brahman. Brahman himself, Brahman itself cannot be defined, but those are basically indicators of that truth which cannot be defined. The masters have given these three words for us to indicate that supreme truth. So do that. And pay attention to the subject, not to the object. See, we spend a lot of time in taking care of objects of the world outside, extrovert, you know, but make the mind introvert. They say, na paranchi khani vyatrinath swayambhu, tasmat paran pasyati na antaratmana. So this creator had made these senses to look outward. And so we spend all our time in looking outward, looking at others, what is his fault and what is her fault and what is her problem. We don't look inward. So pay attention to you inside and ultimately the subject, that Brahman, which is the knower of all, which the entire first two chapters talk about, is Brahman, the substratum, which is the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind, the speech of the speech. And memorize the second mantra of the first chapter, Shrotasya Shrotram Manaso Manoyat. So memorizing that will help in shifting attention to who is the knower of. So even the my mind and intellect, I should be able to witness. So I should all the time be a witness, not only of the objects, but what is my mind doing at this moment? My mind is happy, unhappy, disturbed, agitated, angry. So knowing the mind, Swami Ishwarananji had one time told me, I may have mentioned it, that the biggest sadhana you can do is constantly witness the mind. Don't let the mind take you for a ride. Don't let the mind disturb you. But be a witness and watch what is my mind doing. So I am Brahman and everything else is mithya. This whole world is mithya, is an illusion. My BMI is also a mithya. The body, mind and intellect is also an illusory present manifestation upon Brahman. So just as upon the rope, there is the snake. So Brahman is the rope and this BMI of mine is also a snake. Not only the world is a snake, but my BMI is also a snake. So Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. And clearly have a clear goal. And when you do activities, what they say is that ideally what one should do is spend a few years in doing sadhanas and clear all these exercises and then start Brahma Vidya. So Brahma Vidya should be after you have developed sadhanas. And that's what the rishis used to do to the new students. They used to make them, you know, serve in the ashram, clean, you know, go clean the cow shed and things like that. Have them do certain sadhanas, upasanas before they start teaching them the highest knowledge. They would teach them the auxiliary texts first. But see, you and I, we have already started studying Upanishads and we have not developed that much sadhana. So what should we do? Should we stop studying Upanishads and start developing sadhana chatushtaya? It's not necessary. Other thing you, which as a compromise you can do, is have a vibhaga, have a barrier in between Brahman and the worldly activities, these sadhanas. So as I am doing the sadhanas, I should realize that this activity is for purifying my mind, is for the world. And then in my mind, I should have a little barrier that this activity is Brahma Vidya. So when I'm doing activities, it should be very clear. Is this for purification of mind or is this for Brahma Vidya? So mentally, we can create a barrier and compromise. And then slowly, slowly, as the knowledge becomes clearer, the need for doing sadhanas and worldly activities will reduce. So reduce activities and do activities which are conducive. So anything I am doing, is it taking me towards my goal or not? So if my goal is clear, then every activity I do should take me towards my goal. And activities that take me away from my goal, I should reduce. Obviously, you have to take care of the body and family and things. But aside from that, Sharir Yatra Pichate, you know, Bhagavan says, you have to do karmas for your body. But beyond that, whatever unessential time is there, which is being wasted, turn it towards God. Then The spiritual sadhana should not be to build up a resume. You know, oh, I know physics, I know cooking, I know sewing, I know knitting, and I know Brahman. You know, not like that. So it should not be for increasing my resume that I have studied. You know, I have studied so many Upanishads. I have studied the, you know, Srimad Bhagavat. I have heard. It should not become a resume that all these things I have accomplished. And along with that, no, it should not be for increasing resume. Any knowledge I get should be for my spiritual growth. That whatever I am listening to, whether it's the Upanishads or Ramayana or Srimad Bhagavat, it is for me to grow spiritually, for me to progress. And it should not be for increasing my individuality. Otherwise, we get ego. You know, I know how to chant. I know I have studied so many Upanishads. I have done so many sadhanas. I have done so much fasting. I have done so much this and that. So all that increases the ego, the individuality. Studying should be to reduce the individuality, that I am nothing and Brahman alone is, because the individuality is taking me away. So they say, na, main hu to Hari nahi, Hari hai to main nahi. If God is there, I am not there. Prem gali ati sankri. So I am not there, God alone is. So the individuality should be reduced. Then this I am guilty of. When I study something, it should not be for teaching others. You know, sometime I read and I say, oh yeah, this will be good for the class. The purpose of studying is I should grow, and not even to get praise, you know, when that, oh, I know so much or I do so much. It should be, all of that should be for others. Yes, after you have studied, I mean, yeah, you can, if you can share the knowledge is okay. But the main purpose of studying is self-growth. And then the last one, it should not be used to make a living. You know, some people do that. The spiritual knowledge, they make a business out of it and they sell the, you know, knowledge. And yeah, so it should. So these are the points that I wrote down, which I find very useful. Actually, this whole set is the basically all the do's and don'ts in spirituality. So I would recommend, if you have written them down, read them again, maybe put it on a card or something, and try to practice them. Try to see that where am I lacking and where am I good, and wherever I'm lacking, slowly develop that. So I didn't mean to, you know, be like give a talk or lecture, but I found this very useful for me as I was listening to this. I said, wow, this is so beautiful. So I wrote it down. So that's why I thought this will do that. So truth is the abode of this. So the number one thing is truth. And Gurudev says, he says that a sadhaka cannot enter the sanctum sanctorum of truth until he has Harishchandra's vow of truthfulness. Harishchandra was known for truthfulness, so you should have that. Without that, you should not try to enter the hall of truth. Now we'll do mantra number 9.
Last
one. Sharad, you want to chant? Yeah. Chapter 4, mantra number 9.
Just the last
one. Yo va etama evam veda.
Yo va etam evam veda.
Apahatya papamanam.
Apahatya papamanam.
Anante swarge loke jeye.
Anante swarge loke jeye.
Pratitishtati pratitishtati.
Pratitishtati pratitishtati.
Om shanti shanti shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Can please mute. We'll all chant together. Yo va etam etam evam veda. Apahatya papmanam. Anante swarge loke jeye. Pratitishthati pratitishthati. So this is the final mantra of this beautiful Upanishad, where he tells what is happens to a person who has achieved perfection, one who has achieved that highest goal. What happens to such a person? How does he live? What does he do? So in the ninth mantra, it is like the ending. When he says pratitishthati, pratitishthati, when the words are repeated, that means Upanishad has ended. So the ending of the Upanishad is right here, pratitishthati, pratitishthati. So yo means yaha. So whoever that individual may be, young or old, short or tall, male or female, whoever that individual is, va means indeed. Etam, etam means this knowledge, which I have told you, the Rishi says in the all the previous chapters. Evam Veda, one who knows it in this way. What does he do? Apahatya papamanam. Apahatya means he destroys all sins. What is the sins? We'll talk about. And anante swarge loke. He lives in the endless swarga. You say, Are, you didn't you just say that swarga is not, we'll talk about why he's talking about swarga. And jaya means the highest. Swarga he lives in. And pratitishthati, pratitishthati, he remains firmly established in this truth. So this perfection, we have understood that that is the ultimate perfection. Once you have attained enlightenment, then there is nothing more to be done. You know, that's what the Upanishad say. Once you have achieved that, then your purpose of life in this, you know, in this body is over. And whatever else you live, it will be for the benefit of mankind. But you have nothing more to accomplish. There is nothing more to know, nothing more to accomplish. That is the perfection. And Veda, Veda means knowledge. So what is papamanam? What is this sin? So they say sin is ignorance. Not knowing my true nature is sin. Because avidya, kama, karma. So those are the three things. If I have ignorance about my true nature, that I am Brahman, as long as I have that ignorance, then I will have desire, kama. I will have desire, okay, by getting this, I'll be happy. By getting that, I'll be happy. Or by getting rid of this, I'll be happy. Or getting rid of that. So kama comes from avidya, from not knowing that I am complete. I am complete. Only by knowing I am complete, then I don't need objects to make me complete. So I am complete. But not knowing I am complete, I have desire. Oh, by getting this, I'll become happy. By this, I'll be complete. And then I do karma. So then what do? I do karmas to acquire what I don't have. So that is avidya, kama, karma. And knowing that I am a thinking, I am a jiva, I am not Brahman, is avidya. So that I have to eliminate. Then he says he lives in heaven. So, you know, we always say, Are, heaven is not a place, because you go there and you live for a while. And then when your karmas are exhausted, they push you back down. You know, we have heard many times. But Gurudev says, and Shankaracharya ji says, Anante Swarge. What is the meaning? Swar, the swarga, the root is swar. Swar means joy, happiness. So Anante Swarge means endless joy. So endless joy or endless bliss can only be Brahman, because every other joy is temporary. Any other joy you get, even the heaven, the joy is temporary, but knowing Brahman and abiding is that is endless joy. So when they say Anante Swarge Loke means in that endless swarga, endless heaven, he abides loke in that. So that means he lives in this continuous awareness, I am Brahman. So continuous awareness, continuous abidance, and continuous knowledge of this Brahman. And that is called Ananta Swarge Loke, not heaven where we have to go and then you come back. No, this is the eternal abidance in that truth. And then the person doesn't have to go anywhere. In this life itself, he has accomplished the truth. That's why they say enlightenment should be for this life, not because in next life or when I go to Brahma Loka or no. I should get enlightenment here now itself in this life, not postponed to a future life. And JA again is a definition of that state, the highest state. So highest state of endless bliss is Brahman. They are not talking about that Swarga. And this knowledge should be doubtless. And they say, if you don't have this knowledge, this Upanishad says, Mahati Vinashti. A few mantras back, they had said that not knowing this knowledge in this life, you have wasted this life. So knowing means not only intellectually knowing, but abiding in that knowledge. And doubtless knowledge, just as when you have a key in your pocket and you are searching everywhere, and then a wise person tells you, check your pocket, the key is right there. So similarly, I am Brahman, but that knowledge is hidden till the wise person, the guru or the Mahatma tells us. So that is the status. And as we said, pratitishthati, when it is repeated twice, means the Upanishad is ended. And such a person is completely established in this knowledge. His mind or his knowledge cannot be shaken by any means. So complete, unshakable abidance in that truth, that is called pratitishthati. Completely he stays and nothing can shake him. That is the doubtless knowledge. So here we end the mantra, and the Mahatma say that this Upanishad is so beautiful that some of the important mantras you should memorize, even one or two or three memorize.
Number two is
the best. Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manoya, the chapter one, mantra number two. And then, you know, then these ideas, these points that we gave of the eighth mantra, these points you should read and try to memorize, and then pick one or two other mantras maybe that appeal to you. So we'll end here, and what we'll do is we'll chant the Shanti mantra and the first mantra to show that this Upanishad study has not ended. It's not okay, Kain Upanishad ho gaya, you know, put it on the shelf. Okay, I'm done with Kain Upanishad. Again and again it should be read, it should be studied. So this spiritual knowledge only registers when it is repeated study only makes this knowledge valuable. As we had said before, to a carpenter, when he hammers the nail, he hammers several times before finally the nail goes deep into the wood. So this knowledge will only become firm when it is repeated studying of this knowledge. So we should not say, oh, they have already told I am Brahman. Why do they keep repeating it? You know, somebody one time had told me, why do you keep going to these lectures? I went for a weekend course somewhere and they told me I am Brahman. I already got it. What more is there? Why do you guys keep listening? So repeated listening is important. So we'll chant the Shanti mantra and the first mantra. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Prana Chakshu Shrotram Matho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmaha Te Mai Santu Te Mai Santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll chant the first mantra of the Upanishad, which the student asks. Kene Shitam Patati Preshitam Manaha Kena Prana Prathama Praiti Yuktaha Kene Shitam Vacham Imam Vadanti Chakshu Shrotram Kaudevo Nakti. So we'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. Anybody has any questions or comments? about whatever is covered or we have spoken.
Swamiji ka namaskar.
Huh?
Swamiji ka namaskar.
Any questions, any comments? Anything you agree, disagree with? Kusum, yeah, go ahead.
I don't have any questions or anything, but I just wanted to say that what you said is so beautifully enumerated for us. So I really thank you for that. And I think in Vivek Chudamani, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says that this human life is so precious. And if we don't realize in this life, it is like committing a suicide for our own self. So right. I thought that was what you mentioned was very, very important. And also the Satyakama story you said, it's in Upanishad Ganga, I think it's episode 12 or 13. It comes initially and it's beautifully done that we all must see that. It's all the Upanishad Ganga is the best one that you can learn a lot of little things that you can remember. So I really appreciate that you take all the time and doing all this and explaining us. So I just want to express my gratitude, basically. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's from the Chandogya Upanishad. Satyakam Jabala is from the Chandogya Upanishad.
You announce.
Okay, I'd like to announce. Please mark your calendar and do not go out of town. Do not say I am busy or I am anything, because we have a rare opportunity to have a wonderful Mahatma, great teacher, coming to Bakersfield. I mean, we have heard him in person, also on YouTube, masterful teacher, Swami Aparajitanandaji. He will be here December 4 to 11. 4 to 11. He's here for a whole week, Monday through Monday.
The classes
will be from Tuesday to Saturday. Monday, Swamiji will arrive in the evening. And then, you know, we can have just a bhiksha for him at the mission. Whoever wants to come, we can do some kind of, you know, potluck just to meet Swamiji on the 4th. He won't be doing a talk. 5th to 9th, he will have two lectures every day. 11:30 to 12:30 will be Kathopanishad. He will choose one chapter of the one valli of the Kathopanishad, do it noontime. And then during that also, you know, Varsha Ben and Nehru can divide, you know, who will do the bhiksha, or we can do potluck for the afternoon. And then nighttime, his talks will be from 7:30 to 8:30. And each day he will take one aspect of the Bhagavad Gita, how it can apply in our life. So Bhagavad Gita in daily life, there are 5 topics. We will be posting the flyer on the WhatsApp. And I think the flyer may already be there, but there are 5 distinct topics that Swamiji has chosen. So, and then, so 7:30 to 8:30. And then if anybody wants to take Swamiji to their house or bring Bhiksha there, so please contact Varsha Ben or Nehru for Bhiksha, so that we would... It's a wonderful opportunity to spend time with him. He's a very gentle, very humble, very modest person, but tremendous knowledge. Very, very, very good teacher. So please, it's rare to get an opportunity, and I don't know when he'll come again. He's coming from Chicago, but we are fortunate we get a whole week. So 5th to 9th, we'll have the lectures, which is Tuesday to Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, it is Bal Vihar, he will talk to Bal Vihar parents and children. So we can probably divide 1 hour for the parents, and the children can be with the teacher. And the last half hour, they will come in the hall and Swamiji can talk to the children. So on Sunday will be his last lecture. So Tuesday to Saturday will be the talks. Sunday will be Bal Vihar. So please mark your calendar and take advantage. They will be on Zoom also, Auntie. So both, all the lectures, including noon, evening, and the Sunday, will all be on Zoom, Sunday also. So we'll do that. So those who are out of town, Gulshan ji also, you can all listen to that. If you are in town, please come in person, because To be in the presence of a Mahatma, the learning is so much better. I mean, Zoom is good too, but listening in person is much better. So if you are in town, please come. I know Rama Ben or somebody has difficulty because of health, but the rest of you should try to attend all the lectures in person as much as you can. And then this Sunday we have Diwali celebration. So please come to the temple, enjoy the, there will be Lakshmi Puja, then there will be bhajans by Swaranjali children. And then we have the address by the mayor. Our mayor Karen Goh is coming. So you can meet her and listen to her. So that is this Sunday. Anything else, Neeru?
So what topic is on the afternoon class?
Oh, for the Kathopanishad, for Swamiji. Kathopanishad, he will pick one chapter, one valli. And it will be Tuesday to Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30. And then we'll have lunch at the mission. I mean, everybody can do potluck kind of thing. Evening, it will be Bhiksha, whoever is offering Bhiksha. It's lunch also, I don't know if somebody wants to take him to their house. All that you can talk to Varsha Ben or Neeru, please. Then, you know, we can do that also.
Karen.
Yeah, Rama Ben.
What day it starts?
December 5 to 9. 5 to 10.
December 5 to 10?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, please write down December 5 to 10. And we'll send the flyer also on the WhatsApp.
Okay.
Yeah. December 5th.
Kathopanishad. Does everybody have Kathopanishad or somebody needs a copy of
December 5th, what?
5 to 10.
5 in the afternoon to 10 at night?
Yeah.
5 to, and it's afternoon and evening.
5 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Kathopanishad?
No.
Oh. Who Anil, I'm sorry to bother you, but can you tell me again? I'll write down for her.
Yeah, December 5 to 9. There are pictures in the noontime and in the evening. We'll send the flyer on WhatsApp.
So it will be 5 to 9 p.m., correct?
No. December 5 to 9. There will be noon lectures, 11:30 to 12:30, and then 7:30 to 8:30 in the
evening. I tell you what, to save your time, can you just send me a text message and I'll take care of it?
No, not text. It will be on the WhatsApp. The whole flyer is there on the WhatsApp.
Oh, okay, fine. So I'll take care of it.
Right. Yeah, it will be on the WhatsApp, the flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody needs Kathopanishad, if Neeru can order, if somebody doesn't have, everybody has it?
No, I need one, Anil Bhai.
Pallavi needs one. Anybody else? Sharad needs one. Sharad, too. So we'll see how many we have.
Okay, hold on. Mute. No, you're not.
I was going to order 5 or 6 anyway.
Huh?
I was going to order 5. Or
she was going to order 5. Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, please. Yeah, because people who come there may buy it also. Yeah, that's fine. Harsha Ben, yeah, please. Okay.
Anilji, may I just make one comment?
Yes.
So I just wanted to make this comment. You know, a few months ago, Swami Aparajitananda, he was in Mangaluru. And I think with divine design, he is now in our life. So I think it's amazing how this works. I know I had a lot of desire to meet him. And yeah, I guess God has listened.
Right.
So it's amazing.
It is a rare opportunity. Yeah, and we are so lucky to have.
Only reason we met him because we went to that national conference in PRC where all the heads of all the missions had come. And we met him and we were so inspired by talking to him and listening to him. So we asked him and he was kind enough to give us a whole week, which is rare, you know, for him to.
Yes. No, it's our good fortune. Yes.
Yeah, and opportunity. Yes.
I've been listening to him for a long time and he is just simply amazing.
So, right. So
thank you.
Much easier to understand.
Yeah, he's very easy to understand. Right, right. Very easy.
Good. Neeru, can I do Bhiksha on Monday evening, please?
Sure, sure.
Because I am leaving on the 6th out of, I have our tickets are booked long time ago for the wedding that we have to go
to. Yeah, so we'll let Varsha Ben know and Neeru know. Monday evening, if you want to bring it to the mission or take him home, whatever you can decide.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So Monday, the 5th. No.
4th.
4th. 4th. Monday is the 4th. Yeah. That's the day he will arrive. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Varsha Ben wanted to do, but I will talk to her since I'm leaving 6th early morning. So it would be better for me if I can do it on 4th evening.
Varsha Ben is listening. She's on the Zoom.
Varsha Ben.
You can talk to her.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, yeah, I'll figure out other day. Yeah. Oh,
thank you so much.
Satish wanted Swamiji to come home, so that's why I wanted to do it on Monday evening. But I'll figure.
Any day evening, you can take him home after the lecture, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And also, we are starting Drigdrishya Vivek in Vivek Chudamani on Wednesday night. That's a very nice text. If anybody would like to join, you're most welcome. We'll be starting in about a month or so. And if you need Drigdrishya Vivek, let Harsha Ben know so she can order that.
Anil, for listening to the lecture online, the same Zoom link should work from anywhere, right?
Yeah, Zoom.
From outside the country too?
Right, right. No, we have people who are listening from Toronto. Auntie is listening. So.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, also.
Okay.
Yeah, including India, you can just log in on Zoom at that time. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
The same Zoom link, this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, we'll end. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.